The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? Paul Charles and Megan Murray here, and you are listening to Girls Talking Boys in partnership with SB Nation. As always, hello.
Happy Friday, you guys. We made some moves this week. Words are hard. And I'm very excited about it. So let's get into it.
Let's discuss, because I feel like this team in general, we've always been a bit jaded. I think we're jaded just as people, because the world can be the world sometimes. But yeah, as Cowboys fans, this front office has done a bunch of dangling carrots in front of our faces. And especially when it comes to free agency, my gosh, like any and all big name players are pretty consistently in the mouths of Cowboys front office or Cowboys fans or in the Cowboys, you know, news circles. But this year, the team finally made some moves, especially when it comes to the secondary. I was personally pretty impressed. I mean, Meg, where are you at? Because I feel like of all the jaded fans, you have teetered on the edge of being one of the most at times, just because you have been so die hard for longer than a lot of our friends. Are you shocked still? Are you relieved? Are you happy with them? Or where's your head at?
I'm shocked, honestly. I think I've said this like multiple times, and I don't think I will stop saying it because they just keep doing smart things. And I'm like, wow, this is incredible. But yeah, I mean, I think we knew that they were going to make a hard push to sign Hankins and really shore up that run blocking and all that good stuff. So when they did it, I was like, oh, thank God. Like, and losing Carlos Watkins was kind of a bummer, but like the real pressing issue was getting Hankins signed, and they managed to do that. We got our big boy. Couldn't be happier. Love to see that we were able to get a lot of these guys on good deals. And that's just going to help us like in the future when we're signing, you know, those bigger contracts with Micah and Trayvon. So, hey, things are looking up. And people were like talking down about like, you know, they didn't think a couple of these guys were going to re-sign. They were like, they're going to get more money elsewhere. But I like to think that a lot of these guys see the fact that they can win with this team, and the guys are making win now moves, and the fact that they have that guy DQ as their defensive coordinator, and he's stuck around and he really sees something in this defense. I think that's a huge factor as to why these guys are, you know, signing these team friendly deals.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Cowboys is one of the unique teams that's able to get more team friendly deals because of the fact that they bring a lot of value above and beyond what their actual, you know, on the field play is. But I was surprised. I do have to say, I was a little surprised that one of the team friendly deals has not involved Zeke Elliott yet.
I know. Well, and so what was it they were saying this week? You know, that they're hopeful that they could maybe get him back. I was like, that is such a weird move. It makes a lot of sense because, like, you know what, they were paying him $16 million.
Yeah, something like that.
Or like at least that's what the rest of his deal is worth, like yearly or something like that. I'm not the numbers guy. We know this. This is Kelsey's territory. This is pretty much anyone else's territory but mine. Either way, I think we saw the fact that they could, you know, just say like, go test the market and see what happens, and like, we can still do right by you if you want to come back and like take the deal that we want.
Do you buy that narrative that they like were doing it out of respect? Like that was
no, I don't.
That was what Stephen Jones was saying. Like he's like, you know, any great player like the DeMarcus Wares, you know, the Emmett Smiths, like the guys that we've had to quote like let go and like let go test the market because they deserve it. Like I honestly am not sure that I buy that either because I just feel like I don't know. I just maybe I take things too personally. But
yeah, same.
Because I remember the DeMarcus Ware cut. I was with the team working there full time. And like, I remember that just being like this shocking moment for the entire building. And then, you know, he goes off and like wins a Super Bowl. And it's like, well, if you respected him, then you would have paid him because you knew he was still worthy and he proved to you he was still worthy.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's convenient for them to be able to talk about DeMarcus Ware and talk about Emmett Smith, you know, and be like, well, we loved them. Like they like to say we loved them or like they were our guys or whatever. And I'm like, they were our guys as the fans. They were our guys. Like they were your players. And like, you do have to kind of run a business that way. So I'm not like totally faulting them, but it makes me read between the lines a little bit when they talk like that, because like, I'm sure they do have respect for Ezekiel Elliott, but they're also like not enough to like do something that's not going to benefit us, you know, in the long run, which, you know, in the long run, it could benefit the fans too. But it's just like one of those things where I don't totally buy the, you know, we only did this because we have so much respect for you. No, you did this because you wanted to pay him a lot less. And he wasn't right. going to take that based on what he was making at this current time or the current whatever contract that he had. So yeah, you go test the market and see what you're going to get from these other teams. And then can we offer you what we want to offer you?
Yeah. I wonder what, I can't remember what the number was, but I wonder what it was that, you know, they're throwing out there for him. Cause I know also like,
I don't know if they ever said,
I know they also came
just
out
kind of teased it.
Yeah. Like they were saying like they wanted to do, he was willing to do like a team friendly deal. And I wonder what that figure was, you know, because he wants to be here. Dak wants him to be here. You know, everyone wants him to be here. So I don't know. I'm curious as to what that would look like numerically and what that would actually genuinely take.
That's a great question. Honestly, I know there's been interest from other teams. I know he wants to get a running RB1 contract. I don't know that he's gonna find that. And then is that just kind of a realization moment? But I could also see him being like, well, I'll even take something less from a different team because I'm kind of mad how all this all happened. Like, I don't know.
Do you feel confident in having Tony Pollard take on Zeke's touches? Because that was something that they talked about in league meetings, and they were like, you know, we think obviously with the new guard coming in, and then obviously with Tony Pollard, he'll be taking up a lot of those touches. And you know, but you lose Dalton Schultz in a tight end, you know, just offensively, it's a totally different team. So what is that actually going to look like?
It's going to be one of those things where, sure, do I think that he could take Ezekiel Elliott's touches? Yeah. But the thing is, who's taking Tony Pollard's touches? Because I don't know that you have someone that is like your, we talked about a 1-2 punch a lot last year. A lot of people just like to pretend that wasn't a thing, but it was. And like, sure, give him even more touches, whatever. But you need to have some guy that's going to be able to carry the load as an RB2. Sure, running back by committee, whatever, I hear you. But like the caliber of like the running back you have behind your RB1 is kind of important.
Yeah.
So it's like, will they, that's why I'm like, now that we have made these moves that we've made, I'm not, you know, like, can you make up for it in the draft? I don't know. I'm more interested to find that out with a running back than I am with a wide receiver. So I'm glad they're, you know, they made the move to get Brandon Cooks. And, you know, even if they wanted to do a little more here for that on in free agency, but yeah, it's Tony Pollard. Can he take the touches? Yeah. But he's going to need someone to step up a lot behind him. And I'm not sure that who we have this current moment is going to be the remedy for that.
Right. Yeah. I definitely think it's going to be a unique challenge. With different players in the room. And I know there's, you know, he was a big locker room presence. I think that's why, like, bringing in the veterans that McCarthy did, this despite the fact that they're on the other side of the ball, is a solid move, because it shows that, you know, there are genuine investments being made, and these are good guys. It sounds like that they feel confident they're going to bring a lot to the locker room, because, you know, realistically, it's a holistic view. You need both sides of the ball to be firing on all cylinders, and you need there to be the cohesiveness. You need there to be the leadership. You need there to be, you know, the buy-in. And, you know, I think that I can't imagine the locker room, how they feel after, you know, a season, couple seasons like they have, where you're like, man, like, we had every reason to do it, right? And, you know, I know how we as fans feel. I can't imagine how they feel. So I guess to me, like, I would be curious, like, as to the overarching sentiments in the locker room, because I feel like they probably are thinking this was, you know, some of these things that they've made change about with the play calling and switching up the coordinators and, you know, having to lose some important pieces. Like, they may not be happy about them, but at least there might be some semblance of reassurance or hope that this team is genuinely making solid moves, whether they agree with them or not, to try to win a championship.
Yeah, I mean, I really do feel like they are making those win now moves in the free agency, which we're obviously not used to seeing. I think we all know that. So it's kind of like, do we trust you right now? I don't know. But, you know, the draft is usually where they feel like they, you know, get the most bang for their buck. So with those two things combined, like, that's, it's a pretty impressive offseason for the Cowboys right now.
Yeah. I don't know if I go as far as to give them an A yet, but I will give them a higher grade than maybe I have in the years past.
But, like, let's, I can, you know, I love to draw back on like things I've said before on this podcast. I definitely gave them an F last year. So above an F, I think, is an improvement.
Yes, I totally agree.
So they're probably about a C plus right now, and if they do well in the draft, we can elevate that as needed.
Yes, for sure. So a couple other things that I, you know, kind of wanted to touch base on that I felt like were big deals, at least on the interwebs, was the fact that there are yet again more number changes that can be made in the NFL. So this feels like a good time to remind you guys that I used to date an equipment manager. Just kidding.
Yes.
I couldn't go without doing it. But you know, I say that jokingly, but for real, it was like really easy for a long time to tell what position you were dealing with. And like, you had like a set run of numbers that could be used for a set position group. Like, that was just like how it is. Well, that is quickly, very quickly changing. And now you can add Zero to the mix. And I need to know, in your opinion, are you going to let Micah Parsons switch out and wear Zero?
I think that's not what we should do. Let's remember, this is not the same scenario by any means. But remember when, like, Jalen Smith switched to 9 and that really made everyone mad?
Hate. I hated that.
That's like, that would be like that on like a, like, times 100.
Why?
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Well, he's like one of the top-selling jerseys for the Dallas Cowboys. You have all these people with Micah Parsons 11. Like, that's your brand at this point. I think it behooves you to kind of stick with that. I get the fun. Like, I know he was like, I want to be Agent Zero. Like, I see the fun in that for him.
Right.
And the rendering that he posted was like pretty badass. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, dude, I missed that. I was on Instagram.
Yeah, he posted it.
Oh my God.
it looks pretty great. But I don't know. Like, for example, like Curse, I know, like, responded and he was like, no, that's going to be me. Pretty much, like, that would make more sense because, no offense to Curse, and a lot of people should be getting his jersey because, like, that man's a beast and, like, he rides so hard for this team. I think that's going to be a name that people are going to talk about for, you know, years to come as like part of Cowboys history. But you're talking about like such a front facing guy for the Cowboys, like switching your number when like everybody and their mom has your jersey already. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the vibe, even though it would be pretty badass. But
what if Dak switches number to Zero?
No, he can't do that. And I'll tell you why. Too many people be talking about his rank amongst quarterbacks and they're just gonna be like, nah, he's Zero.
Oh, then he'd be leaning
or like call him a Zero. And I don't like that. I think about everything.
That's actually
and that just that wouldn't be good for him.
I appreciate the fact that you're thinking about branding from a player's perspective.
You've gotten to my brain.
You're so welcome. But also, while I totally hear that, I think I was more upset about Jalen Smith taking 9 because I was like, bro, you're not Tony. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's just like,
right.
Like there's like a level of respect that needs to be, that is put on like numbers around here. And I'm sure anywhere. And like,
yeah. And like, no one was upset with Micah for taking 11. Like they weren't like, oh, Cole Beasley's legacy. Oh my right. God.
Yeah. Like we could probably use a better taste in our mouth after that, honestly.
Yeah.
Some for real. Commentary from him.
Do the 11 right, man.
Yeah. So, well, we did love bees. Yeah, I know. I just like, but I also like feel like Zero is a number. It's a cool number and it shouldn't just go to like a rookie or someone, you know?
That's so true. But so, that's why I would be on board with Curse, but it would be super badass if he was Zero. Like, I get it, but can we, like, at least offer the people a trade in or something for their jerseys.
Yeah, that's actually smart. That could be something where you do like a charity trade-in or something.
Yeah, like, I mean, at some point it becomes kind of like the retro, like Micah, because, like, you know, Kobe changed his number. Not that I'm calling him Kobe, but like he changed his number what, a few times.
Twice. Well, no, he changed it once.
Okay. Either way, he changed his number. So has it been done before? Is there precedent for like a front-facing player on a team? Yeah. But like you could also be, this is again, not the same. So don't even say it. But like Dirk Nowitzki kept 41, and like that's such a random number. And now that number is like everyone uses it on everything in Dallas. Like it is, that's Dirk. Dirk 41. Like that's a whole thing. So I mean, I don't know. Again, I've got my branding brain on here. I can see the merit in the zero, and I could see it being super badass for him, but you know, someone needs to take it for sure. But the Micah thing might cause a stir that that would be like, I don't know. It would be really, what am I trying to say? It would cause too much of a stir. I mean, people talk about us all the time anyways. I don't want to hear this hotly debated on every show. Like, oh, you switch numbers. Like, I don't want to hear about it.
Alternative option. He could take the two 11s and connect them and make a zero. That's what you could do. If you own a Micah jersey and he switches, you can just connect the dots and call it good.
That would be Kelsey wearing a napkin for a Brett Maher level. But yeah.
100%. But like, I'm just saying, like, sometimes the t-shirts that were sold out in the parking lots of the Dead and Comfort, or the Grateful Dead shows, are almost as expensive as the actual ones sold inside the doors. So like, you could be a part of Cowboys history. This is your time. Solution-based decision-making, kids. That's what I'm here for. Pivot, if you will.
Yeah. But either way, it'll be fun, and we're not talking about like being pissed off about offloading a wide receiver one this offseason. So like, this is fine with me.
Well, one thing that's not fine that I want to get your final thoughts on, Dak Prescott and his interceptions was a major issue last year. I mean, he had 17 interceptions, 15 in the regular season. They made a switch at quarterback coach. You know, it was a problem. And a lot of those, unfortunately, didn't have a pretty big hand in adjusting the trajectory of the game. So I think that in league meetings this week, Mike McCarthy went through and talked about how they did this exercise with the new coach, Scott, and they literally did a deep dive film session into all of the interceptions, and then also the almost interceptions, and went through conversations around decision-making, what was he thinking, all of those types of things. Do you feel confident that with the switch at play calling, the switch at quarterback coach, doing exercises like that and reviewing all of those mistakes and potential mistakes, that Dak will be better in 2023?
Okay, so when we talked about this being a topic, you sent me an article. I couldn't figure out who wrote it because it was like poetry. So if you haven't read the DallasCowboys.com article about, you know, Dak's interceptions and like their plan for it with Mike McCarthy, definitely do it. Whoever wrote it, and that was impressive. Nice. They like talked through the numbers of like, you know, it's been 30 years. It's like he had 17 interceptions. This year he's going to play 20 games or whatever, which means he'd be going to the Super Bowl. Like that was an impressive line of thinking, and I appreciated it. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a huge focus. Scott is going to have to, you know, I'm curious. Obviously he's been around the team. I'm sure he has a good relationship with Dak. Like, I don't know a lot of people that don't. Curious what his plan for that is, but the man needs to get out of his own head, I think, is really that the end of the, like, where that really goes. I like that they are focusing on it. I think, you know, last year we talked about how their big focus on the offseason was, you know, flags and penalties. And I think they did a good job of at least, you know, bringing that number down quite a bit, especially on the defensive side, but, or, and O-line, like, oh my gosh. But yeah, I don't know. It's obviously a problem. Like, let's all be very clear about that. But I don't think it's an unsolvable problem. And like the fact that they are, you know, putting stuff in place to like help him out. And honestly, Brandon Cooks and stuff like that, those kind of moves are going to help him out too. And like when you shore up, you know, your O-line, or if you add a little extra help at running back, or if you, you know, give him a little more, give him another target at wide receiver, like Gallup being better, like fully next year would be a helpful thing too. Like there's a lot of factors that are going to, you know, go his way next year. So just to make sure that he's ready for that challenge. And I'm sure that's an internal thing. It's also an external thing. So I like that we're focusing on it in a positive way, instead of hearing about the number over and over again until I'm blue in the face.
I remember that there was this at Valley Ranch, this green, this like augmented reality room that they built. And basically like you went through and it was largely used by the quarterbacks, and they would put these like goggles on you or something like that. And basically it would like kind of walk you through like plays and whatnot and situations. I wonder if they still have that in the new facility. Because I remember that was like a tactic for obviously trying to, you know, keep things as tight as possible.
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't either. But I feel like for me,
That's a good question though.
I just feel like the quarterback position is such a mental position that any and all additional reps are going to be important. You know, I think it's, you know, I'm sure it wasn't the best, and I'm sure it was kind of painful, but I actually like am really glad they did that. I feel like it's going to take a lot more than just that to make him not have the interceptions that he had this past year. But I do feel like it's a positive start in the right direction. How's that for my optimism?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's something that you have spoken about at length, you know, because the sports psychology, people can like, I think psychology in general, some people are like, oh, that's like not real, whatever. It really is. And like when he really hones in on that stuff, like I feel like it is so positive for him. There's definitely ways to mitigate that. He doesn't have to be doomed to be a Brett Favre that just chunks up the ball and like gets interceptions all the time, right, whether he gets into the Hall of Fame or not.
Right. So, I don't know. I feel like we feel oddly optimistic at this point in the offseason, which is refreshing for, I think, both of us, to be quite frank.
It really is. I love it. I'm pleased.
I am too, I have to say. I'm very pleased. So, feel like steps in the right direction, all good things, and I mean mostly good things. We feel at least a thumbs up, maybe not two thumbs up, but a thumbs up.
Yeah, and you know what, that's a fine place to be.
We'll take it. All right, guys, well, as you can probably hear, unfortunately, I'm sorry, I think my allergies or something got the best of me, so please forgive the nasally bit. I feel like I could hear, but we do appreciate you joining us. Make sure you subscribe to the Blogging Boys podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple, iTunes, or Stitcher. Also, come hang out with Meg and I on social media. I'm on Twitter at Kelsey_Charles. I'm also on Instagram at HeyKelseyCharles, and Megan is
at Meg Murray with 4 R's on Instagram and Twitter.
And the most important thing to remember, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, there are a few words that we would like to leave you with. And those are?
Dallas forever. Philly for never.
Birds are not real. The only good thing about that city is Wawa. Bye, guys.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.